Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. O Suta Goswami, there are those amongst men who desire freedom from death and get eternal life. They escape the slaughtering process by calling the control of death, Yamaraj. Purport. The living entity, as he develops from lower animal life to a higher human being and gradually to higher intelligence, becomes anxious to get free from the clutches of death. Modern scientists try to avoid death by physiochemical advancement of knowledge, but alas, the controller of death, Yamaraj, is so cruel that he does not spare even the very life of the scientist himself. The scientist who puts forward the theory of stopping death by advancement of scientific knowledge becomes Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki. The scientist who puts forward the theory of stopping death by advancement of scientific knowledge becomes himself a victim of death when he is called by Yamaraj. What to speak of stopping death? No one can enhance the short period of life even by a fraction of a moment. The only hope of suspending the cruel slaughtering process of Yamaraj is to call him to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord. Yamaraj is a great devotee of the Lord, and he likes to be invited to kirtanas and sacrifices by the pure devotees who are constantly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, the great sages headed by Shaunaka and others invited Yamaraj to attend the sacrifice performed at Naimisharanya. This was good for those who did not want to die. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Miti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I would like to ask the permission and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here in the temple room and those which are online. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vanchakalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhya eva cha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavbhyo namo namah. Just to say a quick kind of a story. When I was had the opportunity to serve my spiritual master in Radhadesh, just this year, I was kind of asked to give classes in Radhadesh. And because I have it was kind of a privilege to have the association of Guru. So every time I was asked to give a class, I went to Maharaj and asked him for permission. So first time I went and I said, I just kind of pay my obeisances, Maharaj, today I'm giving class and with your permission, with your blessings, I would like to see whatever I can share with the devotees. And Maharaj, Kadambakanana Maharaj, was very, very happy. He said, yes, you have my blessings. Do it nicely, present according to whatever Prabhupada was saying and give some of your reflections, realizations. So I was very happy. So I went, I spoke something. Then the second time I was asked to give a class, so I was like, okay, I think it's the etiquette to go even second time. So I went to him again and I was like, I pay my obeisances, Maharaj, I'm giving class today. So please kindly give me your blessings and with your permission, I would like to speak. Then Maharaj looked at me and he was like, no, I will not give you my blessing this time. I was like, why not? He said, it's your duty. So he said, it's not anymore about blessings, but now it's your duty and it's my instruction for you to share Bhagavatam and speak about Krishna Katha. So just a small reflection that when we ask permission and blessings, the blessings are always there. Now it's more about blessings, it's about our commitment and about our duty to speak Bhagavatam and discuss Bhagavatam. So that was just the kind of a small reflection which I had just now. So we can see in this chapter 16, how Maharaj Parikshit received the age of Kali, we can see very wonderfully in this section of Bhagavatam what is the progress, actually. In the previous chapter, in a very long period, we've been discussing how the five Pandavas been retiring very nicely in a very good sequence. First, there was instruction. Second, there was action. Third point, there was renunciation. And now we can see that we kind of withdraw from that scene. King Parikshit was kind of enthroned in the throne of Hastinapur. And we can see in this section that from the verse 5 until the verse 9, this is Shonaka Rishi being speaking to Suta Goswami in the forest of Naimisharanya. So one of the things they are dealing with in these five verses is that they're dealing with death, they're dealing with inquiries, and they also deal with about Yamaraj. So we know Yamaraj is a great personality. He's one of the Mahajans, great authorities on the Vedic wisdom. And Prabhupada speaks about about Yamaraj here in the purport as well. But one thing which kind of really grabbed my attention was one of the first portion of the purport. The living entity, as he develops from low animal life to a high human being and gradually to high intelligence, becomes anxious to get free from the clutches of death. So very important term is development or evolution. How animal becomes a human. So we know many times our Prabhupada was referring to Darwin's theory of evolution of species. So I've done a bit of a research and I was thinking how to kind of grasp this. And I know last few days there were kind of this question was coming out about consciousness, about bodies, about we have 400,000 human-like bodies or humanoid bodies. So I was thinking how to kind of understand this. I know yesterday was one question about also gradation of consciousness. Mataji, you referred to Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, in the verse number 5, Prabhupada speaks in purport about actually seeing Krishna or seeing God in a different evolution positions of the consciousness, not only of a human, but also about any species of life in the universe. So having this in mind, I kind of tried to do a bit of a research. And Prabhupada is referring to Taittiriya Upanishad. This is a very interesting Upanishad. And this Upanishad deals with elevation of consciousness and different stages, which goes through different stages of the consciousness. These stages of consciousness are called koshas. Koshas. And basically in translation means a shell. So it means layer after layer after layer. So recently one of kind of my meditations was that we see that how different entities, the same living entity, the same spiritual spark has different bodies. But the one way to looking at this, that these different bodies are actually, they reflect or they mirror the different stages of consciousness of a living entity. Correct? All of us, we have different type of body. We have different lakshanas on our body, different length of arms, ears, eyes, face, legs, torso, how tall we are, where we're from, what we do, what is our focus in life, what kind of a capacity do we have. So all of these physical features actually represent our consciousness, our internal consciousness. So when Prabhupada refers in this Bhagavad Gita verse, he goes through stage by stage. And think, I would like to kind of describe today slightly about these different stages. So the first stage of consciousness is the most animalistic, the most brutal, the most basic type of consciousness. And it's called Anamoy. Anna, with double N, means food
or it means grains as well. In the Sanskrit dictionary, it refers always in connotation with accepting food preparations. So Anamoy stage of consciousness is that you are not distinguishing anything, actually. Your only primeval kind of a attachment is just how to get food, how to eat, how to sustain your body. We can see this, even microbes have this. And the most beast-like creatures, they don't distinguish anything. They just accept and want food. So this first stage is called Anamoy. So you don't actually distinguish between what is alive, what is dead. You just want to absorb just to sustain your body. It's very interesting that Krishna, in one very wonderful pastime, he had consciousness like this. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Bala pastimes when he was a child. So there are two similarities between Krishna Lila and Chaitanya Lila. Can anyone tell me what was that specific pastime? Eating dirt. So in Krishna pastimes, Krishna eat the dirt, and Mother Yashoda was very upset. She was actually not upset because Krishna eat the dirt. She was upset because why he was eating the dirt. And the reason is, I'm cooking all these palatable dishes for you. It's no fun. It actually takes a lot of time to churn butter, to do milk, to kind of get the milk, to boil the milk, to create yogurt, to all these preparations. And what do? You sit down on the floor and you eat dirt. Why am I even trying, you know? So she was upset because of this. Because Krishna was not properly reciprocating. Of course, we understand the deeper meaning was that he wanted to enhance the love of Mother Yashoda. So Krishna just eat dirt because he was seemingly, from the position of this elevation of consciousness, obviously you understand, doesn't apply to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna was not actually distinguishing between what is eatable and what is non-eatable, what is acceptable and not acceptable. So Anamoy platform, just to kind of visualize this. In the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sachimata such an elaborate explanation. He said, "My dear mother, what you're offering to me are all these palatable dishes, all these wonderful Bengali preparations, all these eatables, first class, cooked on ghee. But look at this. What is the difference between this dirt and all these eatables? There's none. Everything comes one way or another. It's a combination of earth, water, and fire. Therefore, what's the difference if I eat this dirt? There's no difference. All is one. Everything comes from one source, from earth." So in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this elaborate explanation. Of course, Sachimata rebuked him with great love and great attention. And the conclusion was that there is difference, but there is no difference. This actually creates a drama of Achintya Abheda Bheda Tattva presentation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his later life. So this Anamoy stage is no distinction. I only eat to survive. I don't eat to enjoy. I just want to survive. And just to quote my referencing, Burijan Prabhu, surrender unto me, obviously Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and I dive into this Taittiriya Upanishad. So the second stage is Pranamoy. Prana means life in this connotation. So in this stage, this conviction is in the fact a symptom of the second level of consciousness called Pranamoy, wherein we are satisfied just to be alive and we try to stay alive at all costs. Thoughts of reality beyond the lies we know are uncommon. The type of consciousness advanced to awareness of his own active life symptoms and he identifies with them. His view of external world is unified by the principle of maintaining his own survival. Materialistic human society, more or less, exists on this primitive level of realization. Again, as with all the koshas, this stage of consciousness is also known as Lord's energy. So this Pranamoy stage of consciousness means I understand this is me, this is my body, this is, my nation, my country, my culture, and that is your culture, your nation, your consciousness, or your life. So most of the society is unfortunately on this platform, Pranamoy platform. They understand this is my body and that's your body. But no deeper kind of a consciousness. But even this stage elevates to another point. And that next step is Gyanamoy. As we all know, Gyana means knowledge. So this level of consciousness dives much more deeper within us. This philosophical inquiry is a step above concerns for the pressing matters of life in the 21st century. The thoughtful person rises above the masses of this stage called Gyanamoy. One's self-concept expands to awareness of his own thinking, feeling, and willing. So we can see that this Gyanamoy encapsulates the knowledge or the presentation of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. Let me ask you a question. For those who have some, let's say, if you study psychology or if you kind of dive into psychology, it's very interesting that there are similarities between one personality, and he created something called the pyramid or the hierarchy of needs. His name was Maslow. So he was, I think it was Russian psychologist. And what he created this pyramid. And just imagine that this pyramid, this kind of a scientific presentation, actually very much is the same as these five koshas. So on the bottom of the pyramid is just basic needs, need for survival, right? Food, water, shelter. So this is called the basic needs. Then the step above is the psychological needs. So they fall into the Gyanamoy. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Discussions, having relationship with others. Also understanding that this is the place where I live. This is the place I need to protect. And above that is the need of self-realization. So these three stages Maslow very nicely kind of understood, and they're very much similar to these five koshas. Just to let you know, Srila Ramanujacharya, he actually said that this Gyanamoy platform, if a person doesn't follow Vedic standards or Vedic way of thinking or seeing things as good as bad according to the Vedic injunctions, he's not situated in the Gyanamoy platform. So only if you follow the Vedic injunctions, let's say, excuse me, four regulative principles, or you're following different processes of yoga, then you can be considered to be on a Gyanamoy platform. Otherwise, you're not. So we can see the modern civilization is not even on the Gyanamoy platform. They don't use the knowledge, the right knowledge. They use knowledge, but materialistic knowledge. And this materialistic knowledge doesn't actually differentiate between body and the soul. Therefore, you're not considered to utilize knowledge correctly. This is according to Sri Ramanujacharya. So just so far, these three stages, Anna, Prana, and Jnana, they are not spiritual stages. They're not spiritual yet. They are purely material, and they are purely dealing with material behavior. These stages refer to a living entity trapped still in an illusion, one who fully identifies with and is limited by his field of activity, kshetra. So we know in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it describes about the kshetra jnana and who's the knower of the field, what is the field of activity. So some knowledge may be there, right? You may just strictly theoretically understand that there is a body and there is a soul, but you don't act upon it, right? If you go on book distribution and you speak to people and you come to a certain point where you say, yes, actually I'm a soul, I'm not the body. So that's a glimpse of Gyanamoy. But still, it's not so much of a spiritual. It's a spiritual knowledge, but there's no application. The next stage is considered to be actually a spiritual or a transcendental stage, which kind of goes beyond this realm of matter. Can anyone tell me what is the next stage, the stage number four? Vijnana, exactly. After understanding the knowledge and practically applying that knowledge, realizations will start coming. That's the Vijnanamoy stage. But just thinking about the big question isn't enough. The quest for metaphysical knowledge finds success when the philosopher realizes that the self is not the body, but a pure spirit soul. That discovery of the true self is called Vijnanamoy, or realized knowledge. And in our times, it is rarely achieved. The living entity realizes himself as eternal spirit, separate from his gross and subtle bodies. This is platform of transcendental knowledge. So, when Prabhupada speaks about evolution, this is what he actually means. Evolution means go through different stages. Understanding in the beginning how animalistic we are. We just purely look for food. We just want to somehow or another survive, eat as much as we can. But if you look at the yogis in the Himalayas, what they're actually doing is that they're sustaining themselves, the body, by the highest stages first. So the highest stage now is called Anandamoy. This Anandamoy is the purely spiritual transcendental platform, which deals only with true understanding. There's no ahankar, there's no false ego, there's understanding of who you are. Right? This body is a shell, and I am a spirit soul. So therefore, actually, according to Baladev Vidyabhushan, this Anandamoy stage is not considered to be a kosha, but still nevertheless is listed. Why? Because it's another layer. It is not another layer. It's actually a true identity. So Anandamoy is listed amongst the five koshas, but it's not a kosha. It's actually the true understanding who you are. Therefore, the elevation of consciousness in the process of bhakti yogis starts slightly upside down. If you again vision the pyramid of Maslow, basic needs, psychological needs, and needs of self-realization. So what the transcendentalists or bhaktas are doing, they take the pyramid and put it upside down. So they're starting on the Anandamoy platform, in the sense that they absorb themselves in the Anandamoy services or Anandamoy activities, right? First thing you come to the temple, these days they will tell you, go and self-isolate. But in the normal days, when you come to a temple, they will tell you, okay, these are the things we wear, these are the marks we put on our body, these are the activities that we do, this is the morning program, this is what we chant, this is what we read. All these activities, one way or another, could be directly point to spiritual or transcendental activities. You see? So we try to facilitate first the transcendence. And through the transcendence, everything else comes. All the other koshas are facilitated through the medium of transcendence. Of course, you need to eat, right? Anandamoy stage. But how do you eat? You eat Krishna prasadam. So even the Anandamoy stage of consciousness is pervaded with transcendental knowledge, with transcendental understanding. Right? Pranamoy. You look at other people, you understand this is me, these are other people. Even that is pervaded with Anandamoy, with the transcendental understanding. How is possible? He said, I am a spirit soul, you are a spirit soul, we are different, yet we are part of something bigger. We are part and parcels of Krishna. Therefore, there is seemingly a difference between us, there is seemingly a barrier between us, but yet we are purely the same in terms of transcendental consciousness. Different, yet similar. Now you go to the Gyanamoy stage. Gyanamoy stage, as I already mentioned, becomes much more subtle and becomes much more refined now. So this Gyanamoy stage, how can be pervaded with Krishna consciousness? Can anyone share something? How can you pervade Krishna consciousness with this Gyanamoy stage of life or stage of consciousness? Yes? Scriptures, Shastra? Controlling the mind, David Prabhu? Devotional service, you understand, yes. The conclusion, Vedanta Krit Vedavit is Krishna, Rasa Raj Krishna Prabhu. Relationships, yes. So, this Gyanamoy stage is actually very, very crucial for a devotee. Why? And I think I spoke already about this. In this 21st century, specifically in these days, the term discrimination is looked upon in a very bad way. Discrimination. When you say, I discriminate, you consider to be a very bad person. But actually, discrimination is the substance of knowledge. Right? Does it make sense? Substance of knowledge is discrimination. If I give you choices between, I don't know, in one hand I have Krishna. Just like Morpheus in Matrix, there's a red pill and a blue pill. Red pill represents Krishna consciousness, and the blue pill, or let's say other way around, the blue pill represents Krishna consciousness, and the red pill represents, I don't know, I used to be very much in the comics, and you know, Marvel, and these sort of stuff. So if you have a choice between reading the Bhagavad Gita or a newest edition of Captain America, what would you choose, you know? So that's what jnana means. Jnana means discrimination. And every single person on this planet, if he's a bit sane, he's using discrimination. Prabhupada was referring to that. Would you go to a cage of a lion and say, "Whoa, my dear friend, you're just covered by many layers and you think you're a lion, but actually you're a soul." The lion will be like, he will just eat you right there on the spot. Therefore, no discrimination was applied. So again, this comes to different kind of a discrimination. Different layers or different levels of devotees. Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. So all these stages of consciousness also pervade devotional life of a bhakta. Either if you're a beginner, medium, or if you're in the topmost platform of beyond darkness. That's what Uttama means. Uttama, Uttamas, beyond tamas. Devotee who's beyond the darkness of actually discrimination. He sees everything equally. Doesn't matter if you're a dog, a dog eater, a cow, a brahmana. He sees them equally because he sees beyond that layers of contamination. But today we're actually talking purely about the layers of contamination which covers the living entity. So the last stage is the anandamoy. The self-knowledge is incomplete without understanding the self-relationship with everything else, especially with the Supreme Self. With ordinary philosophical inquiry, one can know about God, but from the platform of self-knowledge, one can with further progress know God and one's relationship with Him. Acting in that relationship is the status called anandamoy. So in this anandamoy stage of consciousness, you truly understand who you are and you're acting on that platform without any hesitation. So although anandamoy is listed as one of the five coverings, as I mentioned, is actually a true goal that we want to kind of go through. We want to go to the stage of anandamoy. We want to reach this pure self-conscious and understanding who we truly are. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, verse 1, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking. Kumara acharit pratso dharman bhagavatam iha durlabam manusam janma tat api adruvam arthadam. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved. And although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete protection. Excuse me, perfection. So to understand and to utilize this body is actually a true jnana, true knowledge, true discrimination. You receive the gift and now you're going to discriminate how to use it, how to utilize it in the right way, in the right consciousness and in the right manner. So this takes us back to the philosophy of the six Goswamis in terms of Yukta Vairagya, utilizing anything and everything you have in your possession to serve correctly Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gopulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. So you can see sometimes even in the life of a devotee, the first day, for those which are not born in the movement, for those of us which come to the movement, you can actually see the progress in your life, how you're actually changing your consciousness like that. every single type of consciousness actually even could be traced in your physical features. Because the subtle body shapes the gross body. For instance, babies or children, they are in an anamoy stage of life. Why? Because they wake up and they just need to be fed. They just want to eat something and then they go to sleep again. So as you progress, even through your human life, you're evolving. You're constantly evolving. That's why this is a movement. This is a Krishna conscious movement. That means you've been in one point, and one way or another, by the mercy of devotees and by conscious endeavor, you're evolving. You're constantly changing, moving, shifting, evolving. This is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness could be translated in an Anandamoy consciousness. Anandamoy in a stage that you have to come to the consciousness when you understand, I'm not the body, I'm a soul, and I have eternal relationship with Krishna. Because the purpose of human life is to know who you are and how to re-establish yourself on your original platform. Therefore, the path is necessary to have. Through the vision of the Vedas and prescribed activities of the Mahajans and Acharyas. Because even a small advancement on this path can save one from the greatest of dangers. So even the small evolution of your consciousness can actually truly protect you in the longer term. So Prabhupada was explaining again in the 13th chapter, Bhagavad Gita verse number 5, these different stages of consciousness. Then Prabhupada was referring to science. What does actually science mean? And we all of us know that Prabhupada was very heavy with the scientists. So I look into Google Acharya and I looked what actually science means in terms of dictionary. So science is the pursuit and application of knowledge and understanding of the natural and social world following a systematic methodology based on evidence. Scientific methodology includes the following: objective observation and measurement and data. So this is science. Science means application, pursuit of knowledge. So let me tell you one interesting story about once Prabhupada get asked a simple question. Some either reporter or someone asked Prabhupada, what is the greatest scientific invention that India contributed to the world? The greatest scientific invention that India gave to the world. Science of self-realization. Any other guesses? How about mathematics? How about the vimanas, flying, you know, machines? How about knowledge about agriculture? How about astrology? How about astronomy? How about all of these ones? How about ultimately the Vedas? How about different types of, you know, applicable knowledge which we use in every single day? Any guess? Any other types of knowledge that India gave or contributed to the world? Yes. The idea of the gentleman was, what was the scientific knowledge that India gave to the world in terms of science? Rasaraj Krishna Prabhu? The first university was in India. That's far out. There was a hands up here somewhere. Zero. Number zero. Okay. So Jagat Priya Mataji is saying that Indians or Indian knowledge gave zero and ones, basic the true basis of mathematics. You know what, Prabhupada? Yes? Venugopal Prabhu? Surgery? Yes, that's pretty far out. Ayurveda? Rasaraj Krishna Prabhu? Weaponry? Dhanurveda? Right? How to fight? How to control the body? You had your hands up? No? David Prabhu? Languages, Sanskrit, yes, Sanskrit is considered to be like the mother of Indo-European languages, but we know that Sanskrit was a language all around the globe before. You know what Prabhupada answered? And this is far out. Prabhupada answered that the greatest scientific invention that India gave to the world is
Parampara system.
And I was like, what? What do you mean by Parampara system? And check this out. What is the goal of science? Let's do it together. The goal of science is,
what would you say?
To make your life better, right? To simplify your life. So you feel better, you have more knowledge, you have more understanding, right? So science is constantly gaining knowledge, right? Let me ask you, like, for instance, what is a benefit for you that 5 million, I don't know, solar years from here, or how do you say the distance, is there's a star which is dying? Light years, okay. You know, a few thousand light years away from planet, there's a star which is dying. What's that of help for you? How can you practically apply this in your life and change your life based on this understanding? It is scientific, for sure, but how can this help you? So the goal of science is that you understand the nature around you and you can practically apply it to such a degree that changes your life into a positive life. So the goal of science is to have a good life. The goal of science is to just to be happy. Because whatever good should make you kind of happy in the end, should somehow enhance your life. Therefore, the goal of science is actually to get out of this material world. That's the conclusion of the modern science. But they don't know about it yet. The goal of modern science is that you understand Aham Brahmasmi. You can study, like, they're actually Sankhya philosophers. They try to study all these elements inside out, all the mutations, permutations, variations of molecules and atoms and all these things, until they come to conclusion that I'm actually not this atoms and molecules. I'm not just this brain substance and organs. I'm actually something more. There is a soul within me. I am a soul. This is the conclusion of science. But yet they didn't came to that point. But I have a faith in them, in the scientists. Some of the scientific explorations, they're showing that yes, there is something like consciousness within the body which is much more different than the body itself. Therefore, the goal of science is to understand I'm not the body, I'm a soul. And this is one-on-one thing when you come to the temple. So all of you should consider yourself as a great scientist because you actually understood Vedanta Krit Veda. Krishna says, I am the conclusion of the Vedas. The Vedas are coming from me. I am the knower of the Vedas. Therefore, by you knowing this simple statement, I'm not the body, I'm a soul, it's like you studied all the universities, all the scientific explanations and things are known to you and you know it. Because you come to the point, I'm not the body, I'm a soul. This is the goal of science. And the highest of scientific methods to get out of this material world is Parampara. That's why Prabhupada said, Parampara system is the greatest scientific invention given by India to the rest of the world. They said methodology. The methodology is get connected. Yoga means get connected. Yoga means be connected. The greatest methodology of science is Parampara. Because by you connecting to Guru Parampara, what happens is, the scientists before you, there are some pictures here on the wall of these great scientists, these Bhakta scientists, these Uttama Adhikari scientists, they connect you to the ultimate source, and that's Krishna. So that's the goal of science. Science is a good thing, but the way people understand science, that's a bad thing. The conclusion of science is have a good life. And what's the best life? The best life is don't even be here in the first place. Be in a spiritual world. Be an Anandamoy conscious stage. So this is the conclusion of science. And this is what we want to achieve. And these different stages of consciousness should come to the point that to be a true scientist means to be connected to Krishna, with Krishna, through Guru. I haven't spoken about Yamaraj for a purpose because next few verses are purely about Yamaraj. So I'll just leave it there to the speaker tomorrow and day after that. So I'll finish here. If there are any points, any questions, any commentaries, any tikkas, please Ben Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class. Really nice, really nice. It's interesting you say about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I actually learned about this in college, and it was saying how a successful or healthy business should have this system integrated, and that the owner of the business should achieve the highest of the pyramid, which is actually called self-actualization. But clearly they don't understand what that actually means. It just means that they have like a humble mind or something, but they don't understand that you need self-realization to be able to understand and take care of your employees, because you understand their true needs. And it's not on the basis of how much they're getting per hour or how comfortable their working surroundings are. It's based on what they actually need as a person. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that point. If anyone plans to start a business, start with understanding of Krishna consciousness. And what they need Krishna consciousness. And if you start a business like this, I guarantee you will be successful. Any other points, questions, notes?
Hi Krishna. Thank you so much for the class. Really, really cool class. I was actually wanting to talk about this American philosopher, Mr. Maslow, on the hierarchy of needs as well. He's American.
Russian. Maslow sounds so Russian to me.
Yeah, but basically, in a matter of preaching, because this hierarchy of needs talks about, the individual's motivation to perform certain activities, ensuring that the basic needs are sorted out. And on a practical level, you wouldn't be leaving the house until you made sure that you've had your meals. You didn't be leaving the house until X is sorted. Then you can start thinking about other things on a high elevated, fraction of things. In Bhagavatam, it's somewhat similar in the sense that even Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj that by the age of 50, or which Prabhupada also elaborates in the purport, one should detach from all these things because the activities engaging with the basic material things are soon to be ceased so that one can focus on self-realization. So how do we make individuals understand that actually spiritual understanding should be the basis whilst all these things are happening simultaneously? Because that individual wouldn't be having time to think about spirituality when his basic needs are not sorted, when his basic needs are not comfortable. So how can we make them understand that actually you need spiritual realization first, and then focusing on your basic needs would be probably much more easier, etc.
That's why I said in the beginning, thank you for the question, that the yogis or the bhaktas, first, if they have that anandamoy stage of consciousness, everything else becomes literally natural for them. Because to such a degree, Krishna will reciprocate with them that he will facilitate those basic needs. He will provide those basic needs. Like the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, they've been not bothered by where they're going to sleep. They've been not bothered why they're going to eat. They've been not bothered about, if someone comes to darshan or not comes to darshan, to see them. They've been internally so tranquil that Krishna feels obliged to fulfill those basic needs and basic desires. But in this stage, in terms of preaching Krishna consciousness, obviously we have prasadam distribution. We try to help people to kind of have a healthy lifestyle first as well. We try to introduce them to meditations, different types of yogas. We try to shelter them. And in this way, but everything is pervaded through with Krishna consciousness. So whatever basic needs or psychological needs we provide, as I mentioned, Krishna consciousness is the substance of that even basic need. So when you give food, we don't give food, we give Krishna prasadam. Therefore, you actually doing progress just by eating. Thank you. Srinivas Prabhu?
He explains that the six Goswamis, they renounced everything because of the higher taste.
Yeah.
So you cannot give up the material things unless you have a higher taste. Like you were saying, they were living under the trees and seeing Krishna's pastimes, so that they got a higher taste. So this Anandamaya stage is actually diving into the higher taste. But in order to get that higher taste, one has to practice seriously.
That's a very good point. That actually elevation of consciousness needs to be based that you're grabbing something higher and letting go something which is of lesser nature. That's a very good point, yeah. So to practice Krishna consciousness, you have to have that higher taste to let go of the lower kind of stages of consciousness. Yes, Purujan Prabhu?
This morning I was experiencing great difficulty in trying to do Gayatri. And the reason was because of my tongue. I was thinking about Bhishadam all the time. And it was a very disappointing time for me, you know, to see my lower nature in front of me every time I was trying to do Gayatri. And it's our samskaras, isn't it? When you come to do a meditation, you start to see who you are. And in terms of, you know, when you say anamaya, you know, I was certainly on an anamaya level, you know, in trying to do Gayatri. And it was a very frustrating thing, and disappointing, you know, because, you know, I was trying to obviously do something, and it was offensive, of course. So it's really, I don't know how to explain, but if there's any comments anybody would like to say can help in this dilemma, you know, directly. Somehow my mind just got fixed on the tongue, you know, what it wanted. And anyway, any comments? Anybody else?
Like comments on your point? Prabhupada would say just chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Sorry, any points? Go Krishna Prabhu.
Well, just on that point of Prayojin Prabhu, I don't think he's quite on the Anamaya platform because he's aware of it. If you're aware of it, then, I mean, if you're really on the Anamaya platform, you wouldn't be aware of it at all. You're just totally focused on
food.
Food and, yeah, satisfying hunger or whatever. So I think it's probably a bit more than Anamaya.
Hare Krishna. Mothers, any points or any questions? Okay. Amala Purana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. There was a question? There was a question? Okay, don't be shy.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. Just had a quick question. You talked about how we refine our consciousness. So how do we measure? What's the assessment that consciousness is actually being refined? Mm.
How you're affected by those different stages of consciousness which you've been indulging before, and how much you're affected by them at the present moment. So let's say if, as Purjan Prabhu was saying, that if the food kind of aspect is very much disturbing in a certain point, then you can say, yes, there are certain aspects which I'm still dealing with. And basically you become much more subtle, much more refined, much more attached to the higher kind of practices. You become, first of all, I haven't finished my rounds. How can I, you know, for instance, take prasadam? I haven't done my 2 hours of reading today. How can I do something else? First of all, so your needs, your hierarchy literally changes. Before it was, make sure my belly is full. Make sure I chat with my friends for a couple of hours. Make sure I play video games for a few hours. That was for me. But nowadays it's completely different. Make sure I'm in the morning program. Make sure I'm chanting my rounds. I read Bhagavatam. I finished my service. So in this way you can actually measure what's your hierarchy now, and in comparison, what was it before? That would be my answer. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Amala Purana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki.